Krishna go Gopinash Amakunda Radhakunda Gir Govardhan Ki. Vrindavan Dham Ki, Advait Dham Ki, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki, Jagannamayi Ki, Jagannamayi Ki, Srimati Tulsi Devi Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhaktivrinda Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adhidhiva, chapter 20, text 353. Somebody do the $4?
340.
Huh?
340 was something
called. 348. I think they already did that. But if you want to, somebody want to chant the Sanskrit? A Bengali? And we could go through these.
Starting at 348.
Yeah, I was just told 353, but we can go ahead and start at 348. Somebody expert at chanting verses? Which one is that? Translation. As stated before, when I describe the incarnations of the material modes, guna avatars, one should consider that these incarnations also are unlimited and that no one can count them. That's 349. Thus I have given a description of the incarnations of the four different yugas. After hearing all this, Sanatana Goswami gave an indirect hint to the Lord.
Rajamantri Sanatan Bhuti Brihaspati.
Rajamantri Sanatan Bhuti Brihaspati.
Prabhura Kripate Puche Ashanka Chamati.
Prabhura Kripate Puche Ashanka Chamati.
Sanatana Goswami had been a minister under Nawab Hussain Shah, and he was undoubtedly as intelligent as Brihaspati, the chief priest of the heavenly kingdom. Due to the Lord's unlimited mercy, Sanatana Goswami questioned him without hesitation. Sanatana Goswami said, I am a very insignificant living entity. I am low and poorly behaved. How can I understand? Who is the incarnation for this age of Kali? Purport?
We did this last week too.
Yeah, I know we've done these before, but
I just
keep going. Purport. This verse is very important in reference to the incarnations of God. At present, there are especially many rascals prevalent in India who proclaim themselves incarnations of God or goddesses. Thus they are fooling and bluffing foolish people. On behalf of the general populace, Sanatana Goswami presented himself as a foolish, low-born, poorly behaved person, although he was a most exalted personality. Inferior people cannot accept the real God, yet they are very eager to accept an imitation God who can simply bluff foolish people. All this is going on in this age of Kali. To guide these foolish people, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answers the question as follows.
Prabhu kahe anya patara shastra dvare jani.
Prabhu kahe anya patara shastra dvare jani.
Kali ke avatar taiche shastra vake mani.
Kali ke avatar taiche shastra vake mani.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, as in other ages, an incarnation is accepted according to the direction of the Shastras. In this age of Kali, an incarnation of God should be accepted in that way. Purport. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the way an incarnation should be accepted. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaikya Chitte Kariya Aikya. One should accept the thing as genuine by studying the words of saintly people, the spiritual master, and Shastra. The actual center is Shastra, the revealed scripture. If a spiritual master does not speak according to revealed scriptures, he is not to be accepted. Similarly, if a saintly person does not speak according to the Shastra, he is not a saintly person. Shastra is the center for all. Unfortunately, at the present moment, people do not refer to the Shastras. Therefore, they accept rascals as incarnations, and consequently, they have made incarnations into a very cheap thing. Intelligent people who follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions and the instructions of the Acharya, the bona fide spiritual master, will not accept a pretender as an incarnation of God. In Kali Yuga, the only incarnation is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Imitation incarnations take advantage of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord appeared within the past 500 years, played as the son of a Brahmana from Nadia, and introduced the Sankirtan movement. Imitating Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ignoring the Shastras, rascals present themselves as incarnations and introduce their rascaldom as a religious process. As we have repeatedly said, religion can be given only by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From the discussions in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can understand that in different ages, the Supreme Lord introduces different systems and different religious duties. In this age of Kali, the only incarnation of Krishna is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he introduced the religious duty of Kali Yuga, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Else?
It's not as important.
Oh.
I mean, it does make it hard.
omniscient Muni, Vyasadeva.
The words of omniscient Muni, Vyasadeva.
Shastra Paramana.
Shastra Paramana.
Evidence of revealed scriptures.
Evidence of revealed scriptures.
Amasabha.
Amasabha.
All of us.
All of us.
Jivera.
Jivera.
Of the conditioned soul.
Of the conditioned soul.
Aya.
Aya.
There is.
There is.
Shastra Dwara.
Shastra Dwara.
Through the medium of revealed scriptures.
Through the medium of revealed scriptures.
Dhyana.
Dhyana.
Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Translation. The Vedic literature is composed by the omniscient Mahamuni Vyasadeva. Are evidence of all revealed, are evidence of all spiritual existence. Only through these revealed scriptures can all conditioned souls attain knowledge. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Foolish people try to concoct knowledge by manufacturing something in their brains. That is not the real way of knowledge. Knowledge is sabda parama. Paramana, evidence from Vedic literature. Srila Vyasadeva is called Mahamuni. He is also known as Vedavyas because he compiled so many shastras. He has divided the Vedas into four divisions, the Samaveda, Yajur, and Atharva. He has expanded the Vedas into 18 Puranas and has summarized Vedic knowledge in the Vedanta Sutra. He also compiled the Mahabharata, which is accepted as the fifth Veda. Bhagavad Gita is contained within the Mahabharata. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is also Vedic literature, Smriti. Some of the Vedic literatures are called Shrutis, and some are called Smritis. Srila Rupa Goswami recommends in his Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Shruti Smriti Koranadi, Pancharatra Vidindina Kanti Harya Bhaktir Upayana Kalpate. Unless one refers to Shastra, Shruti, Smriti, and Purnadi, one's spiritual activity simply disturbs society. There is no king or government to check people, and therefore society has fallen into a chaotic condition. As far as spiritual understanding is concerned, taking advantage of this chaotic condition, many rascals have appeared to proclaim themselves incarnations of God. As a result, the entire population is indulging in sinful activities such as illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Out of many sinful people, many incarnations of God are emerging. This is a very regrettable situation, especially in India. Om Jnana Timurandasya Ganangana Salakaya Chaksurum Hidikam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Vipasha Nagam Dadati Swaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Ta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vijantam Sadevam Sahagoitam Sahagadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Varnatam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapcha Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamani Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So the verse again today is, the Vedic literatures composed by the omniscient Mahamuni Vyasadeva are evidence of all spiritual existence. Only through these revealed scriptures can all conditioned souls attain knowledge. It's interesting that when I was doing a little research on this verse, and Srila Prabhupada actually spoke on this verse in 1966. It was December 26th, the day after Christmas. And he spoke on this whole chapter, this chapter 20. The Lord instructs Sanatana Goswami. So I thought it was very interesting that Srila Prabhupada, he first introduced the chanting of Hare Krishna. That's the most important thing, actually. And he also said that this chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, nothing else is needed. And if we can just chant Hare Krishna, we don't need anything else. But if we can't do that, then there's so much literature to convince us to chant Hare Krishna. But eventually we have to take to this offenseless chanting of Hare Krishna. And I also thought it was interesting that first he introduced Bhagavad Gita, which is sometimes called like the ABCs of spiritual life. And next, he gave the book, The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He thought it was important, before the pastimes were told to us, that we understand this philosophy and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So this is a wonderful conversation between Sanatana Goswami and Lord Chaitanya. This question and answers, Prabhupada was saying, is called Istogosi. Questions and answers. It's how spiritual knowledge is passed on to one person to the next. And we see that Lord Chaitanya, he did this with Sanatana Goswami, with Rupa Goswami, Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, and Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was a little different, though, because with Ramananda Roy, Lord Chaitanya was asking the questions and Ramananda Roy was giving the answers. Even though it's a little different, but it was completely in line with Vaishnava etiquette, because Ramananda Roy was saying, you know, I'm just a sudra, you know, I have no knowledge. And Lord Chaitanya was saying, well, I'm just a Mayavadi sannyasi, but you know the science of Krishna, so therefore anybody who knows the science of Krishna, I can hear from you, I can hear from them. So that's the criteria, if somebody knows the science of Krishna. And what is the science of Krishna? Is that they don't speculate, they don't make anything up. And these verses are very clearly stating that this is the process, that the revealed scriptures are the basis for all of our understanding of spiritual life. And if we don't refer to the scriptures, then we're just a disturbance in society. So, I don't know, it's very interesting. I was also in this talk where Srila Prabhupada was back in 1966, he was saying that, you know, talking about these conversations, he said, when I would have a conversation with my spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he would always say, Daso Smi, which means I'm your servant. So even the spiritual master considers himself a servant. But it's his duty to teach, so that's how he serves his disciples. But he's not puffed up. He's always thinking that he's just a servant. Of course, that the verse of Trinadapi, which Lord Chaitanya stated in his Shikastaka, that we should always consider ourselves lower than the star on the street, more tolerant than the tree, ready to offer all respects to others, because in such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So, we should make a note of this in our minds. We're always going to be a humble servant of Krishna. We never, you know, become the master somehow. Krishna is the master and we're his eternal servants. And it's a wonderful relationship. And these conversations between the spiritual master and the devotee are the way that we can, you know, purify ourselves and get knowledge. And it's interesting here because Sanatana Goswami, he's very humbly, you know, Lord Chaitanya spoke about the Yuga avatars and the symptoms of the avatar or the incarnation for the Kali Yuga is that he's golden in color, that he's going to be preaching the Sankirtan movement of chanting Hare Krishna, he's born in Nadia as a Brahmin family, and all these things are Lord Chaitanya. So of course he understands that Lord Chaitanya is talking about himself, but in another verse, Lord Chaitanya says that an incarnation, he never says that I am an incarnation. You know, he always just performs his activities as an incarnation, but he never says, oh, you know, I'm the incarnation. So Sanatana Goswami was very, he was very intelligent, very humbly, so he's asking here, how can I understand who the incarnation in this age of Kali is? And Lord Chaitanya is starting to answer him here, saying that you have to accept it through revealed scriptures. That's the only way that we can understand these things. And as the conversation goes on a little further, it says that Lord Chaitanya, because Sanatana Goswami was, you know, pointing out that actually Lord Chaitanya was the incarnation for this age, says that Lord Chaitanya at a certain point remained silent, just confirming what Sanatana Goswami was getting at. And then Lord Chaitanya changed the subject and he went on to another thing. But I was also thinking, you know, I saw many times devotees asking questions to Srila Prabhupada. And the way Sanatana Goswami was doing it was very proper, he was very humble, you know, and he was just asking these questions for the benefit of everyone else and for his own benefit. And Srila Prabhupada really liked those questions. But sometimes people would ask like some challenging questions or what we used to call like fishing questions. You know, they're trying to get Srila Prabhupada to say something, which is not the right mood. You know, you're supposed to be humbly asking. You're not trying to control him, you know, to get him to say something. So we have to be very careful that, you know, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would, I can remember, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would answer a question in a certain way, and the devotee would say, oh, that's not what I meant, Srila Prabhupada. You know, I was trying to, you know, something else, and Prabhupada would stick to that same point and say, you know, no, you know, this is the way. And you have to try and understand. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say that, said, just try to understand. But what Srila Prabhupada was saying was actually what the person really needed. You know, and sometimes he would really, you know, chastise disciples for asking questions, not in the right mood or looking for a certain answer. And sometimes he would just dismiss it. Sometimes they were like stupid questions. I remember this one devotee in New Vrindavan, he's passed away. His name was Charantana. And this was in a darshan in Srila Prabhupada's room. It was a little chilly that day, so he was having his darshan inside. he said, I was talking with somebody and they said that, how come your spiritual master never smiles? And we were all just like cringing. How could you ask such a stupid question, you know? And Prabhupada just kind of looked around at everyone. And one of the devotees said, oh, there's so many pictures of you smiling, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just said, see? And, you know, I was really, at that point, I was really expecting him to kind of, to give him the sauce, so to speak, chastise him. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, didn't give it any importance. He just kind of, you know, passed on, you know, went on to the next thing. But I can remember everybody in the room, they just kind of really cringed, and, you know, when he asked this question. And I'm just kind of, you know, bringing it up that we have to be inquisitive. We should have, you know, if we're serious and we're practicing Krishna consciousness, certain questions will arise. And we're reading scripture, certain questions will arise. And we have the right attitude and the right consciousness to get these answers, to clear them up. They're saying that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was telling Arjuna that doubts are like demons. So you have to get Krishna to slay these demons. And we should, we shouldn't have doubts, you know, about Krishna consciousness. But if we do, the place to go is the scriptures, the spiritual master, or the saintly persons. So this is a wonderful conversation between Sanatana Goswami and Lord Chaitanya. And we can see like the whole Bhagavatam is a conversation, questions and answers. Sukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit, Sutta Goswami and the sages of Namasharanya. And they're also quoting, they're always very authoritative. They're quoting scriptures as they answer. You know, even Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he would quote, oh yeah, the Narada, Devala, all the great sages have confirmed this. And he wasn't making anything up. So that's the way of understanding spiritual life. We have to always base it on the scriptures. That's what, you know, our foundation, our rock. Revealed scriptures. It's the basis. Srila Prabhupada said books are the basis. So there's a few other things. I can remember in a darshan in New Vrindavan, they were talking about the symptoms of the age of Kali. You know, there's all these symptoms that people are going to be, you know, quarrelsome, they're going to be short-lived, they're going to grow their hair long and think they're beautiful. And these things that, you know, Vyasadeva was saying way before it happened, because he could see the future. He was omniscient. And that's what it's saying also in this verse. And I can remember Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was saying that the Veda Vyas was tri-kala gyan. We know past, present, and future. He said, but every living entity has that to a small degree. He said, even, you know, the conditioned living entities, they can know a little of the future. They know, like, the weather is going to be, you know, kind of rain tomorrow, if it's cloudy. There's certain things. They have this in a little proportion, because actually the soul has this. The soul is omniscient. The soul has these qualities of knowledge, eternity, and bliss. But now we're just covered over. He's also saying that everyone loves Krishna. Everybody loves Krishna, but simply it's covered over now. So this love of Krishna, we have it within us. And this process of sadhana bhakti, or Krishna consciousness, It's just a means of cleansing ourselves, cleansing our perverted consciousness, our false ego, so that we can get to the pure soul. I was very amazed how he just matter-of-factly said, everybody loves Krishna. Everybody's loving Krishna. But simply they're just covered over. And he was also saying about how some of the demigods, like in the heavenly, in the higher planetary systems, you know, they have all these mystic powers where they can, you know, go from one planet to the next. And he was also relating it to how the spirit soul has these potencies. Just like these mystic powers that the yogis get, they perform some austerities and they do some penance and eventually they get these mystic powers. But he said actually the mystic powers are already within them. It's just they do these certain things and then they bring it out. And it's the same way with the love of God. You know, we have it within us, but this chanting of Hare Krishna, it's purifying and it brings this love that's naturally there out. He was saying, you know, we already have so many mystic powers, but sometimes we don't even know it. And he gave the example, he said, sometimes you cut your finger. He said, sometimes you don't even do anything. You don't put a band-aid or take care of it, but it heals itself. So that's a mystic power. It heals itself. And so, you know, the important thing is that we are eternal spiritual souls. You know, we're eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And this body is not us. It's temporary. It's always changing. There's, you know, so many people who have been passing away recently. Adidev Prabhu and myself were visiting Amiatma Prabhu, and we were reading the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. One of the purports, I really liked, I think it was the verse, I think 15:16, where it says that there are two types of living entities.
Shara and Akshara, the fallible.
Yeah, that's right. There are two types of living entities, the fallible and the infallible. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada started talking about how the material body is born and it's always going through some changes. Everything in the material world changes and then it dies. He said, but the spirit soul, it's not born. So therefore it doesn't change. And everything in the spiritual world, because there's no birth, it doesn't change. It's eternal. So, you know, it was a really wonderful way of just saying how we're not the body, we're eternal spirit soul, and the activity of the spirit soul is eternal in Krishna consciousness. And of course, it's a matter of realization. The spiritual world, we're eternal, there's nothing changes, you know, there's no birth yet. Krishna wakes up in the morning and he has his morning pastimes. And then at noon time, Mother Yasoda feeds him. And he goes out into the cowherd, into the pasturing fields, and he has his play with the cowherd boys. And then he comes home at night and he has his pastimes. Then he goes out with the gopis and he has his pastimes. And then the morning comes again. So, still, everything is eternal. Nothing changes. So in the material state with our material mind, it may be hard to understand that, but we have to take it from Shastra that this is actually the truth. This is this knowledge is coming from Krishna and his pure devotees, and someone who doesn't have the four, what are they called? The four defects of the conditioned soul, where their tendency to make mistakes, to be illusion, what are the cheating propensity, and imperfect senses. So the scriptures, they have none of this. They're given by Krishna and by his pure devotees who know Krishna. And we have to understand them in this way. There's no mistakes or defects in the scriptures. We may not understand it because of our fallen condition, but they are perfect. So also in this purport, Srila Prabhupada just makes kind of a political statement. You know, there is no king or government to check people, and therefore society has fallen into a chaotic condition as far as spiritual understanding is concerned. So we can definitely see this is the case today. And yesterday I was actually reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam about King Venu, and that's like a very stark, vivid example. King Venu's father was Anga. Yeah, his father was Anga. And he was in the line of Dhruva Maharaj, which is a very illustrious line of kings coming from Dhruva Maharaj. But he married Sunita. And her father was death personified. So King Venu, when he was born, took after his mother's father. And Srila Prabhupada was kind of explaining that usually the son takes after the mother's father, and the daughter takes after the father's mother. So King Venu, Vena. He took after his mother's father, which was death personified, and he was very, very mean. He used to go off and play with his little playmates, and he would kill them. He was so mean. And his father, Anga, tried to rectify him. He could see, like, he's so mean. And he tried to, you know, instruct him and teach him how to be gentle, but he just couldn't learn, wouldn't learn. And eventually, King Anga just gave up. And he said, actually, having a bad son is better than having a good son, because now I can become completely detached from my whole kingdom and my wife, which is usually very hard to give up. So just one night, he just gave up his whole kingdom. In the middle of the night, he just walked away to the forest. And the kingdom was left without a king. And what happens when there's no king or a strong government, all the thieves and the rogues start to become prominent, and they really harass the citizens. So the great sages are very compassionate upon all living entities, and they could see this happening. So they decided to install King Vena on the throne, even though they knew that he was very cruel. Because he was a very strong king, the sages knew that they would check the rogues and the thieves. So they installed him as king, and sure enough, everybody was afraid of him, even the thieves and the rogues. But because he was a very cruel person, he started to harass his own citizens, and he stopped them from performing sacrifices. And it was really interesting that when the sages saw that he was, even though he did curb the bad elephants, the thievery, and the rogues, he was harassing his citizens so that nobody could become happy. So they went and they talked to him, they approached him, and they gave him really good instructions about how it'd be for his own benefit and for the benefit of everybody if he would just, you know, start these sacrifices again to Krishna, to the demigods, and just performing their duties that are in the revealed scriptures. They were speaking from Shastra, and they were giving him really good advice. But he was so puffed up that he started to insult the sages, and he wouldn't accept their advice. And he even misquoted, like for his own purpose, some scripture. You know, he said that the king is the embodiment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's the representative of God on earth, so you should just, you know, worship me instead of performing a sacrifice to Vishnu. And when he was talking in such a harsh, you know, an evil way, it said that the Brahmanas were so powerful that just by their words, they decided that they were going to kill him. And just by uttering mantras and just by their words, they killed King Vena, or Vena. And so they were so powerful. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada was saying that in other yugas, you know, the Brahmanas were so powerful that they could just, you know, kill somebody just by their chanting their mantras. But in this age, nobody has that power. So anyways, just when he was killed, again, the rogues and the thieves within the kingdom, they started to become prominent again. And actually these sages, they went to perform a sacrifice, and they noticed like a huge dust cloud surrounding everywhere, and they could understand that these were just the thieves starting to plunder the citizens. And even though they had the power to defeat these thieves and rogues, they decided that this is not the Brahmana's activity. So instead, we should create another king. And the line from Dhruva Maharaj was very powerful. Even though King Vena was a demon and he was bad, still, because he's in the line of Dhruva Maharaj, they decided to, from his dead body, they knew the art, they churned his arms, and from one arm came Prithu Maharaj, who's actually an incarnation of God, Shaktivesh avatar. And the other came, his wife. I forget her name. Was it Archie? Archie? Yeah. And, you know, they later became married, and they ruled the planet as an ideal king, and everything flourished. But, you know, in a lot of the purports, because when the sages were speaking to King Venu, Srila Prabhupada was really talking about the importance of having a good government and a good king, and that this a saintly king is actually the best way, is the best form of government, is that you have a saintly king. And of course, nowadays, monarchy has practically been abolished. And although a saintly king is the best form of government, to have a demoniac king is like the worst kind. But anyways, pretty much the baby got thrown out with the bathwater, and they don't have much monarchy now. But we're very fortunate that in this age, Lord Chaitanya has come, he's the incarnation of the age, and simply by chanting Hare Krishna, we can attain, you know, all perfection. So, are there any questions or comments?
So, I think I missed the punchline walking from the car over here. But the thought was just just for discussion maybe, is, you know we say kings, monarchy is the best form of government, but monarchy without political culture is just dictatorship.
Yeah.
So it seems like, you probably covered this. So, you know, it seems like without actually developing a culture of grammatical, substance, you can install the kings you want.
Right.
You know, it's not going to really go anywhere. And that's part of the reaction.
Yeah.
Has been, with the fall of the Brahmins.
Exactly.
And the kings get out of control, and the Vaishyas get out of control, and the Sudras try to take control. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's not just that there's, a king, but it's a saintly king. He takes instruction from the brahmanas. It's the whole Van Ashram system. There's a whole package. But even today, it's Kali Yuga. We don't have all this, facility of a saintly king, but we have Guru, Shadow, and Shastra, and we can attain all perfection from this. But Trivikram?
So, another lesson you could actually grasp from your narration is that from demonic association one can be influenced, because Vena, but he had more than demonic. His grandfather was a dead person, So you could see how association can actually influence one. He was more than demonic. Vena was, he would get a kid's him and just kill him.
Yeah,
throw him in the rivers. And,
he was cruel.
So horrible, So I mean, we got to be very careful with our association sometimes.
But that's really what association means, is that you hear, from the saintly people and you imbibe their, good example.
Thank you for this class. I've gotten to attend other classes for concerning these most recent texts and the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Mm-hmm.
So forgive me if this has been kind of like addressed and answered, but something that I've been wondering about, and it was actually brought up in a class that I attended, but I don't know that it was resolved. Answered sufficiently. So yeah, Prabhupada says Lord Chaitanya is the only incarnation in the age of Kali.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've heard is that also the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra itself is an incarnation of Krishna. And I've also heard that Lord Buddha is an incarnation of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how to know if I'm mentally speculating or if I'm just endeavoring to understand, because my thought about this is I'm thinking that Prabhupada is speaking directly to his reader. This is Lord Chaitanya is the only incarnation for you, because you're looking to, this person who is reading is looking for the highest truth or the ultimate goal, which is love of Krishna. That's what Lord Chaitanya was given.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. My understanding is Lord Chaitanya is the only Yuga avatar. Lord Chaitanya was explaining the Yuga avatars and what their qualifications are. Lord Buddha is a little different category. But yeah, that's my understanding. Does anybody else have anything on that?
Yeah, Bhakti Prabhupada Rata Damodar Swami actually was speaking on this on Sunday. And it's, you know, I think it's hermeneutics is what it's called, interpretation of scripture. Mm-hmm. And he explained that, you know, that Chaitanya is non-different from the holy name. So that's one way we can interpret it. And that Buddha might have been a Shakti Vaishnava avatar. But that's really what it comes down to. So I guess this discussion could go further in depth. But what I took from it is that since Chaitanya is non-different from the holy name, and like Prabhu just said, that Buddha isn't exactly considered a Yuga avatar per se. So, yeah. That's what the Maharaj who came last Sunday explained.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, I know that they had spoken about these verses before, but we read through them anyways today. Anything else?
What kind of avatar is Kalki then?
I don't know.
Maharaj answered that as well. And he said since he comes at the end of Kali Yuga, then it's not considered to be in Kali Yuga per se. It's a transition from Kali Yuga into the next Yuga.
Okay.
So that's what Maharaj answered.
Yes. Yeah, and these are all like technical things, but they are explained. You can find them in the scripture.
And of course, we know that many Vishnu Tattva avatars like Lord Nityananda and Hidvaitacharya and many other associates came with Lord Chaitanya, like Vakreshwara Pandit.
Right.
And they say, I'm not sure if I haven't heard Prabhupada say it. I think I read it in passing. Bhaktisiddhanta was saying that Ramanujacharya was also an avatar of Lakshman, Shankarshan Vishnu. And when Maharaj was giving the class, I mentioned Madhumati's class about how there's sometimes statements that, you know, you could have different Vaishnavas may have different opinions about it, or
right.
And there's sometimes we don't have to bother ourselves too much about. I mean, it's nice to try to understand what is Prabhupada saying here. I like your explanation of he's the Yuga avatar, and he was talking about Yuga avatars, and the Yuga avatar in this age is yellow or golden, and that's Lord Chaitanya. But I think sometimes I just take things that I don't understand and I just put them in a box somewhere and say, maybe later I'll get it, you know. Prabhupada said it, I can't challenge it. But I also have to admit I don't understand it.
Right. And it's interesting because there's all like these different like categories of incarnations he's Lord Chaitanya's explaining. And usually like the first thing he says is like these type of incarnations are actually innumerable. You know, there's no end to them. And Krishna is unlimited.
We were talking last week with Maharaj about how he said the guna avatars are unlimited, and but I was reminded of the story in Chaitanya Charitamrita where that all these different Lord Brahmas came with different numbers of heads,
right.
You know, from different universes.
Yeah, but you know it's important to try to understand all these things, and also remember our position as an insignificant, you know, living entity meant to serve. So hopefully all this, you know, all this knowledge should, you know, be helping us in becoming, you know, more enthusiastic in our service and, you know, really embracing our real identity as, you know, the servants of Krishna. Another question?
Just a brief comment. Something that I appreciated that you shared in this class was how, like, you know, every jiva soul, like their natural, like their constitutional position, their relationship, they're like that their relationship is to love God, to love Krishna. Yeah. And for me, that maybe was felt differently in that I was away from town recently. And coming back into town yesterday, I just had like a few instances of like people not treating me very nicely. And it was like really off-putting and like upsetting and challenging for me to experience. And having heard you share that today, I've realized how like in general, when someone is maybe behaving in a way that I don't like, I really disconnect from that truth of like, this person is a jiva soul that is like, that has a loving relationship with Krishna that is like covered in some way. Mm-hmm. And I'd go to just like maybe only seeing their like qualities or the things that are really bothering me. So I just wanted to share that that was really helpful for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping to like move forward with that.
Yeah. Okay, I think we can end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.